Hello and welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Derry. In today's message, we look at the three dimensions of abundant life. And according to the book of Galatians chapter 3, those three things are redemption, the blessing, and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Listen close as we dig deeply into this subject matter, and we want you to be blessed by the Word of God today. Pay close attention, and we'll see you at the end of the broadcast.
Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm glad I'm here today. And I'm glad you're here today. And I'm glad today is a day. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is a day the Lord has made. So we rejoice and we're glad in it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 7. We've been talking about stewardship. And we've been talking specifically is that I am a steward. Steward is a revelation. Stewardship is a revelation. And you have to understand that. Stewardship is not just what you do. Stewardship is a revelation. It is a revelation that goes off in your heart and your mind to understand that God is the owner of everything. See, until we get to that point, the rest of everything else doesn't make a difference. The first thing, revelation, the first part of the revelation that has to go off on the inside of it is God is the owner and maker of everything. Because he's the owner and maker of everything, he has then entrusted all of us with something. And then we look at the book of Matthew, and we saw in Matthew 25, we saw where Jesus said, this is what the kingdom is like. The kingdom is like a man, great possessions. He calls his own servants to them, and he gives to each one of them something. Whew, that's the stewardship of revelation. That's the revelation of stewardship. God's the owner. He represents that master. He gives to each one something according to their own ability, and then he went away, left them with something. Can you say, I think I'm one of them servants? We are. We represent those servants, and those servants basically represents two things. The first is the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. It's the law of faith. That the two servants with five talents and the one with two talents, those two servants represent people who receive from the master and with faith step out and just start doing with what they have. No stories, no excuses. The master gave it to me, so I'm going to do something with it. And they just stepped in and they began by faith. Not worried about anything, not concerned with whether I'm going to lose it, not concerned if something's going to go right. They just know the master gave it to them. They know the master's expectations, and they immediately went out. So you just heard a word about excellence. That's what they did. They put into action that which they had. The third servant with one operated out of the second thing, which is the law of sin and death, which is governed by emotion and logic. And so then he expressed, when the master came back and he buried the talent, he had an excuse. And his excuse was logical, based on his fear. He said, master, I was afraid. So because I was afraid, the logical thing for me to do was to take what I had, bury it in the ground, and now I can dig it up and give it back to you. Because it was logical. And it was done out of fear. So to understand that there's two schools that we have to deal with, the two schools regarding stewardship. One is stewardship that is based on that logic and fear, which causes us to operate in a certain way into the law of sin and death. The other is the law of faith, which operates in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which causes us to operate in faith and not only by sight. This passage in Matthew 7, we're going to take a little different road here, because I realize... Several conversations I've had over the last week have helped me understand that we have to lay another foundation before we go to the next level. And the foundation we have to lay is a very simple foundation. And that is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. This is the passage that everybody who's not a Christian loves to say. Don't judge me. Tell your neighbor, say, don't judge me. Tell them with attitude, don't judge me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. It's written in red letters, which means it is Jesus talking. Jesus tells his disciples. This is the end of a dialogue that goes on but from Matthew chapter 5 all the way into Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus, and he begins with laying out the Beatitudes. Blessed are those. He lays out the blessed are. He gives the Beatitudes. He gets later and he talks about the Lord's Prayer. He gives principles of prayer, principles of fasting, principles. He goes through all these principles. He talks about having first the kingdom of God, thinking about the kingdom first and his righteousness and everything else will get added to you. Then in chapter 7, the first thing he says, judge not that you be not judged. Don't judge. Tell your neighbor, say, "Don't! I told you, don't judge me." Verse 2 says, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Wow, that's deep stuff, ain't it? Yes. Tell your neighbor, say, "I told you. Don't judge me." Now, go to chapter 7, verse 15. You will notice a sudden shift. Matthew 7, 15 says, "Beware of false prophets." Now, wait a minute. Didn't he in verse 1 just say, "Don't judge"? And then he turns right around after he says a few things and then says, "Beware of false prophets." Well, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to judge. Let's make this clear. This is important to our understanding about stewardship. We have to really understand this. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." Yes. Now, he said, don't judge. So understand this. It is not our responsibility to judge. It is not our need to judge. That does not mean there's not a judgment. There's a difference. What that means is that we need to understand that we have an accountability to God. And we don't need to be worried about what everybody else is doing simply because I need to be worried about me. I need to get my stuff together. I need to make sure I have myself in order. In order to what? In order to the Word. That my guidepost, my thing that I count on, the thing that I am moved and controlled by is the Word of God. And if I'm controlled by the Word, then what happens is I don't need to judge you. But in the same breath, you need to be aware, which is what? Be aware that there are false prophets. You need to understand that there are false. There are people who are not real. They are false. And if they are false, they are there. Why? They're there to deceive. Now, to understand this, and again, we're talking about abundant life. But I need you to understand this to understand what's going on around you in your life. It is this. There are two kinds of people in the world. There's only two kinds. Those that believe on God, those that don't. Those two groups of people are then broken into two groups. So on the people who believe on God or the redeemed, there are the flesh rules or carnal, and they're the spiritual. So there are Christians who believe God who are carnal in nature. Carnal's not evil. Carnal means that when I first gave my life to Jesus, I was a carnal Christian because all I knew was carnal. That's all I knew. I had to then go to the Word and start to mature in the things of God. And as I matured into the things of God, I became spiritual in different areas of my life. And I continued to grow spiritually in different areas of my life so that some areas of my life, I am not carnal. In other areas of my life, I am still wrestling with carnality. Tell your neighbor, say, he's talking to somebody I think I know. Two kinds of Christians. There are people who are in carnal, in their flesh, and there are people who are in spirit. And we're at different levels of carnal and spirit. But then there are the unbelievers. And among the unbelievers, there are two kinds of unbelievers. There is one kind, which is called a seeker. A person who is an unbeliever, knows they don't believe in God, and because they know they don't believe in God, they're looking for the truth. They're trying to find the truth. They're trying to find it. And as they search, hopefully they find us, because we're looking for them. We're looking for them. We're trying to find them. We're trying to find them to draw them to God, because our mission is to go forth, walk in love, and make disciples of all nations. Manifest abundant life in their lives. Amen. Teach them the things that will help them grow into abundant life. That's our goal. That's our mission as a church. That's who we are. And we're looking for those individuals. And whether you're carnal or whether you're spiritual, if you love God, you're looking for them. Because that's our mission. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I told you he's talking to somebody I think I know. But then there's the other kind. There's another kind of unbeliever, and that unbeliever is a destroyer. A destroyer. A destroyer is an individual who doesn't love God, who's not concerned with God, and they want to tear down anything that has to do with God. Look again at Matthew, because you need to see this. You need to understand this. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They are destroyers. Remember who he's talking to. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And it turned out that one of his disciples was indeed a destroyer. We have to understand that there are sometimes there are people who come in, and I'm not talking about anybody in the room. I'm talking about there are people who come in and their intent is not for God, even if they're wearing a sheepskin coat. You know what I'm saying? There are people who have on, they have gotten beautiful looking sheepskin coats because they've gotten rid of sheep. See, I got these leather shoes on. I like these shoes, man. Some had to die for me to get these shoes. I got leather shoes. You got leather shoes. Something died to give you them shoes. Amen? Unfortunately, the truth is when there are people who creep in who have on dress like sheep, that means they have gotten rid of some sheep. There's some people who lose their faith because someone who may not even be a Christian gets into their environment and spoils them or poisons them. And sometimes when we are in that stage of still being a Christian who loves God but caught in carnality because we haven't matured yet, we become subject to those individuals who dress like they're Christians, say they're Christians, but inside they don't have your well-being at heart. How will you know them? You know them by their fruit. You know them by what they produce. Because there's some people who don't produce anything except drama and foolishness. And when you recognize that, you need to say, okay, I see what I'm dealing with. Yes. You understand that you will know people by their fruit. The fruit that they produce indicates who they are. You can't get apples from grapevines. You can't get productive fruit from thorns, from thistles. It doesn't come from that. It only comes from those that are fruitful. That's why you have to understand that because there are two groups of people, you need to understand that Jesus came to give you life. Yes. He came to give you life and that more abundantly. He came to give you redemption that makes you totally different, so that even if you were born a wolf, you don't have to be a wolf. Because unfortunately, true, I was born a wolf. That's what I was born a wolf. And I used to be one of those ravenous individuals. I used to be one of those individuals waiting for a Christian to come try to talk to me so I could destroy their faith. But I was nice, so I didn't look like a wolf. But I was. I was angry at people with church. I was angry about God. And if you came to me, I was going to get you. If you came to reach me, my intent was to frustrate you to no end, to argue with you about anything I could so that I could get you to see that God does not exist. And I was angry about it. But I knew how to hide it because I was taught to be civilized. I was a wolf. Guess what? They're nice wolves. Do you understand? You have to understand. There are nice wolves. We are in a real world. There are nice wolves out there. Tell your neighbor, say, I met some nice wolves before. Okay, let me get all in, because you need to understand this to understand what abundant life is. You can't really grasp abundant life till you really understand that there are more than one kind of person in the world. You need to be able to understand that redemption is for all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And guess what? We're not supposed to judge. I don't judge, but I am aware that there are wolves in the world. And all wolves aren't brown, and all wolves don't show you their fangs. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm telling you truth from the word. Amen? Listen close. Verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Skip down to 23. Excuse me. Skip down to verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, our progressive maturity, I go from a carnal Christian to becoming more of a person who obeys God more and more, who sees and knows God deeper and understands my obedience and begins walking deeper in obedience to God, deeper in the covenant with God, deeper in understanding. My revelation gets deeper and stronger. And as my revelation gets deeper and stronger, I walk closer and closer to God. Because why? Because I'm growing spiritually. And as I grow spiritually, I start obeying God easier and easier, more and more. Why? Because if you walk in the spirit, you will not obey the lust of the flesh. It's a continual process of growing up in the things of God, growing in the things of God. Now, listen close. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because I understand that there are seasons where enemies come in to influence. There are seasons where enemies come in and influence, and they influence by whispering in people's ears. They influence by trying to cause strife. They influence by causing division. And well-meaning people can hear those things, and that stuff comes in and taps into your unbelief. It taps into your immaturity, the areas you haven't grown or developed in. It comes in, and when it hits you, it gets you to say, let me be real here. And then we move into verse 1, where we hate for anybody to do. Because what it does is that infection starts to make us judge. See, here's what the human nature does. The human nature hates to be judged, but it loves to judge. And when you judge people, this is what's ironic. You need to really pay attention to what goes on in the news. There are people who judge others all the time. And when a mirror gets turned on them, they say, don't judge me. There are whole communities of people right now who judge everybody else, but when you say something, they say, you're judging me. Don't judge me. How dare you judge me? You're small-minded if you judge me. Wait a minute. You just told me I'm crazy. You just judged me. See, this is the understanding. We have to understand where we live. We understand the season that we live in. Because if we're going to walk in abundant life, you're going to have to be able to embrace the truth in spite of other things around us. We have to be able to come to the Word and know the Word. Turn to the book of Galatians. Now let's get into this other reality. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13, this is where we left off last week. Like I said, four kinds of people in the world. Four kinds of people in the world. You got the carnal believer, the spiritual believer, the seeker, and the destroyer. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief, those that are being controlled by the thief, they come to destroy. But then there's some of them that are seeking, trying to find the truth. But there's some that are caught and destroy. You have to understand, Jesus said, matter of fact, keep your finger there, go to John 10 and 10. Let's do that real quick. I want you to see this with your eyes so that you understand how to process it. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not afraid of the truth. John 10 and 10. Keep your finger in Galatians. I had my finger on the wrong page, so that wasn't going. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and what?
Destroy.
You know what I'm saying? There's a destroyer out there. The enemy's out there. There's an enemy of your soul out there. But he comes first to steal and to kill, then to destroy. But Jesus said, that's not why I came. I came that they may have what?
Life.
Have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Tell your neighbor, say,
Jesus came
to give you life till it overflows. Come on now. Galatians 3. Now let's go over there. Now, Jesus came to give us life. That abundant life has three dimensions. It has three dimensions. Abundant life. The thief or Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That he is the father. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, your father, the devil. They said, the devil? Abraham's our father. The devil's not our father. No, your father, the devil, he's a liar, and even began was a liar. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. And they said, oh, you're crazy. Our father's Abraham. He said, no, your father's the devil. Wow. I hate it when people call me a sinner when I was an unbeliever. I hate it for them to call me a sinner. Nothing worse than a Christian calling me a sinner. Because you're judging me. How dare you call me a sinner? Church is full of hypocrites. That was always my answer. The church is full of hypocrites. How are you judging me? Why? Because that truth would hit me. And it would challenge me. And so my answer was, there's no God. Because if I get God out of the way, I don't have to worry about all this sin stuff. I just refuse to believe there's a God. I'm an atheist. Put that out of there. So the unbelieving person starts to say there is no God. Because then you can get rid of this. You can get rid of all these demands. You can get rid of these senses that something's wrong with me. But you have to understand that there is three dimensions of life abundant that God is trying to give us. And what he gives you, you become a steward of, and you're trying to give it away. But you have to know who you're trying to give it to, because when you try to give people stuff they think they don't want, then you think you have to argue with them to give it to them. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to argue. I'm just going to give. Here's what abundant life is. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. As we were praying or worshiping this morning, we were singing about being blessed. We were singing about, he thought I was worth saving. So he came and changed my life. What are we talking about? He came and gave his life for me so that I could be whole. I could be free and I could tell everybody I know. Amen? What does that mean? That refers to redemption. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Everything that had to do with the curse of the law, of sin, all of it is dealt with through the sacrifice of Christ. Christ has redeemed me. Once and for all, I was redeemed. All I had to do was receive it by faith, and I was redeemed. Here's what the crazy thing about being an unbeliever is. It's too easy to get saved. Because we want to make it so complex and so difficult and everything else. Oh, I'm going to have to change this. No, you receive redemption by faith. That's all. Believe that Jesus died for you and you are saved. But the unbeliever is still fighting because they want to hang on to their old life. But it's the simplest thing. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Because cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. He hangs on the cross, the tree, for us once and for all, and redeems us forever. The book of Hebrews said that his blood once and for all was poured out onto the mercy seat and forever has blotted away. And we are forever being renewed. The blood of Jesus shed one time for our redemption, one time. I have been redeemed. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Everything that has to do with the curse of the law, I am redeemed from. I'm totally redeemed. I'm not going to be redeemed tomorrow. I'm redeemed today. And our guiding principle number three, what? Jesus came to give eternal life, which begins at the moment of my redemption. The moment of my salvation, I received everything that had to do with life and godliness because I've been redeemed. You don't get half redeemed, you get fully redeemed. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm fully redeemed. No curse can break me. Come on. No curse can break me. That's why I stop worrying about what people say about me. Because you can't break me with your words. Your curses can't break me. You can't break me with your curses. You can't break. People, guess what? I worked with a witch. I worked with a witch. And she came in every day and tried to do stuff to me. She couldn't do nothing to me. She couldn't do anything to me because her curses, her words, would not work on me. They will never work on me. Why? Because I have been redeemed. Listen. Listen, don't think that because we live in the 2010s that there's no curses, that there's no witches, there's no people practicing sorcery. Don't believe that foolishness. There's more people practicing foolishness than there ever, I won't say than there ever was, but then I've been in a long time. Everybody's canting or trying to do something because everybody's looking for spiritual truth without God. And that's what the cornerstone of sorcery is. It is trying to dip into spiritual things without God being there. And there's more spiritual people doing all kind of crazy stuff, and they're selling it to Christians all the time. Why? Because they have on sheep's clothing. Somebody sent me this video. And it was this young lady, young entrepreneur. And she's She's got her little program going, right? And so in her program, she's talking about how she's making all this money and all this stuff, and then she's going to bring God into the picture. And she said, you know, John the Baptist was baptizing, and there could be nothing come to you unless it comes from heaven, you know. So John the Baptist was baptizing, and Jesus was baptizing over there. It doesn't make a difference if it was John the Baptist or Jesus. I'm like, this is so off the Bible. But because she's a young entrepreneur and she's making money, there's people who are going to dial in and listen to her. And in the middle of preaching the Bible, they pan down on her shirt, and she's got Eye of Horus on the front of her shirt. So she's mixing Egyptian religion and mixing the Bible and mixing all kind of other stuff, and people hear it, and they get deceived. Now, does she think that she's a wolf? No. She's deceived. See, we think wolves have ill intent. They're just hungry. A wolf doesn't have ill intent. The wolf don't sit around thinking, I want to mess up somebody's day. Wolf said, man, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. Man, look, oh, it's a herd of sheep over there. Let me go eat something. Wolf's not thinking about trying to do something wrong. The wolf is doing wrong because his nature is wrong. See, we're worried about people committing individual sins. It has nothing to do with that. It's about the nature that's inside of us. So what he's saying here is, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. What does he do? He gives me the power to step out of what I was into a new creation life. Go to the book of, keep your finger there. Go to the book of St. John chapter 1. St. John 1. Praise the Lord. It's going to be John 1, bring up verse 13 and 14. Make it verse 12. Bring verse 12, excuse me. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, say, I receive him.
I receive him.
To them he gave the right to become. First step is receiving. Second step is becoming.
Yes.
See, sometimes we just say, oh, I'm a Christian now. So No, you're a Christian and you're carnal. Now you have to become. To as many as he did receive. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, or the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe, adhere to, trust, and rely on his name. See, it's one thing to give your life to God. It's another thing to be redeemed all the way, to walk in the fullness of redemption, to fully receive redemption. When I gave my life to Jesus, I had to make a choice. The choice I had to make was to grow in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
I could stay where I was. I could have been good, but I had to make a choice to grow. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. Three dimensions of abundant life. The first is redemption. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The second is the blessing, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. The blessing of God on your life hits five areas of your life. The first is the blessing of Abraham, which was Abraham knew God. The first dimension of blessing, or first in the dimension of blessing, the very first thing about blessing is blessing is manifested in you knowing God, you having a personal relationship with him, you having a personal relationship with God. If you want to be blessed, the first thing you've got to do is to get to know God. First thing, if you get to know God, then you will have blessing on your life.
Yeah.
The second thing is relationships. Because he said what? He said, I will bless you to be a blessing. So part of the blessing of Abraham was Abraham began building relationships with people. Who did he build relationships with? First, him and Sarah. Then it was him and Lot. Then it was him and other kings around. Eventually, Melchizedek and other people. They became blessings to him. They became adding to him. They became strengthening him. And he began strengthening them. What was it? Relationship became the second area of blessing. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm with you to bless you. See, the carnal mind wants people to bless them. The spiritual mind wants to bless. The spiritual mind recognizes that it wants to pour out a blessing. It wants to have a relationship with God to be placed where I get my blessing from, and then my next will is how I bless others, how I pour out a blessing to other people. The third area is, he said, I'm going to make your name great. What does that mean? He said, I'm going to take what you have, and I'm going to make it be something powerful. I'm going to bless your gifts and talents, your abilities, Abraham, what I put in you. I'm going to make your name great because you're going to take what you've been given and you're going to do something awesome with it. I'm going to make you a great nation, Abraham. How? Because I'm going to take what's in you and make it work for you. And the word says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, it says, and Abraham became very great and rich. Why did he become great and rich? Because his gifts were making room for him. Everything he brought, he kept blessing people. He kept doing things and it kept expanding him, causing him to grow. The blessing of the Lord makes us what? Rich. And he has no sorrow with the blessing. Why? The blessing of God causes things to happen on us. It first happens with us knowing God. It next happens with us loving on and operating and being a blessing to people. Third, what we are given, then we multiply. The fourth thing became divine health. He said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. But I don't have any kids. He said, I'm going to make, Abraham, I'm going to make you so strong that as an 83-year-old man, when you have a baby when you're 83, I'm going to say that ain't good enough. I'm going to renew your body. I'm going to renew the body of your wife. I'm going to keep you guys in such good condition that when your wife is 90 years old, she will get pregnant and she will have a baby. Ain't no more healthy than getting pregnant. Y'all don't like that. I might be talking to the wrong crowd in here. But don't miss the point. The point is, I'm going to bless you so well, you're going to be so physically strong that as a 99-year-old man, you are going to have a baby. Everything don't say you shouldn't be able to do this, but I'm going to make you so physically strong that you will be able to have a baby. Yeah, I'm talking to the wrong crowd in here. But you better translate that into health for you. You better translate that into you being physically strong to do whatever God told you you got to do. Because you're going to finish your course and you're going to accomplish everything God gave you to do. And if God didn't tell you having a baby, then you don't have to worry about that. But if God told you to do something, you need to say, thank you, Lord. I'm strong enough to do what I need to do. What did God tell Caleb and Joshua? They came back from the promised land and they were the only two people who said, God's word is true. We can go take the land. He said, I'm going to bless both of you. You are going to enter into the promise. And when Caleb was 80 something years old and they had gone into the land and conquested the land, he said, now, Joshua, he said, you know, me and you were the only two that made it all the way from slavery to here. You know, we're the only two left. And you were there when God said to me and you that he was going to give us an inheritance. So now I want you to give me my stuff. And matter of fact, my stuff ain't stuff you're going to hand me. My stuff is that mountain with them people over there. And you tell me I can have it. And I'm going to go take it at 80 something years old. So you got to hear this and you got to be moved by faith and not Not logic and emotions. Not logic and emotions. You got to be moved by the Spirit of God and not by anything else. Fifth area of the blessing is stuff. How you manage stuff. That God will give you talent, gifts and talents to create, but you got to have wisdom to maintain. Because it's one thing to get stuff. It's another thing to keep stuff. And this is what Abraham did. Abraham got a supernatural gift from God, supernatural understanding. He met Melchizedek, a priest of the Most High God. And when the priest came and he met him, he sat there and he looked at him and he said, you know what? This man knows God, and so I'm compelled. I'm compelled to count up everything I own, and I'm going to give him a tenth of what I have. I'm going to sow into this man, and now when I sow into him, there's going to be a blessing that comes back to my life. He instituted the tithe. That was never a law, that it was Abraham seeing, this is the way God called me to be a blessing. I'm going to take what I have, I'm going to give it to somebody else, and God's going to pour it back to me. And he continued on in the blessing of God. And he got wisdom that he passed on to his children and to his children's children. So much so that one of his children, who wasn't even hardly his grandchildren, wasn't even hardly listening to him. Jacob goes, and when Jacob is in Laban's house, he said, I'm going to work for Laban. And Laban is trying to cheat me. He's trying to do things to me. But I believe that God's going to give me wisdom. I was going to give me wisdom. And he said, he sat there and he knew exactly what to do. He said, you just give me all the sheep that look like this. That's all I want. You take everything else. You take all the good stuff for yourself. Give me these spotted and speckled sheep over here. And you take everything else. And when he took them, they began multiplying. God gave him wisdom to put a little something in the water and made them multiply, made them increase. And when the people looked, they said, you cheated us. I didn't cheat you. I gave you the best. But what had happened? The blessing had activated in their lives. The blessing had activated. God had put the blessing on them and they couldn't be stopped. Somebody cheated him, he couldn't be stopped. Joseph then went to prison and couldn't be stopped. Why? Because the blessing was working in their lives. Abraham didn't even have a land or family or people. He was blessed. Isaac didn't have a wife. He just sent a guy. He said, hey, my servant, you just go to that town over there and pick a wife. And when he brought her back, he said, that's the one. Blessed. Blessed. First dimension is what? Redemption. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. You are redeemed. I don't care what anybody says. You're redeemed. If you don't feel redeemed, you're redeemed. The second is you have the blessing. Why? That the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. You were born without a covenant with God, and that's good because that means you get to embrace this new covenant with God. The blessing of God is on your life. You just got to learn how to use it. You just got to learn how to work the blessing. You got to learn how to operate in the blessing that's on your life. You got to recognize, you heard the word about operating in excellence, not working for people anymore. Don't go to work and work for people. Go to work and work for God and watch what God will do supernaturally for you. What God will do. God will move you. He will give you favor. It's the best way to say it. He'll give you favor. You got to go and do whatever you do is unto the Lord and let God then supernaturally give you both wisdom and understanding and cause favor to happen all around you. With favor, I have encompassed you about like a shield. The third thing is the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 again, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What is abundant life? Abundant life is being redeemed, it is being blessed, and it is having the Spirit of God. Who is the Holy Spirit? Genesis chapter 1 says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the world was without form, and it was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. And God said. So what happens here is the whole Trinity of God is revealed. In the beginning, the Father is there. The Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters. And then God spoke the word of God. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and He was God. He was there in the beginning with God. Through Him, all things were made, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Now, guess what? That is really spiritual. And guess what? There's some things you can't understand unless you're in the Spirit. You got to be in the Spirit to really get the connection and understand the reality that the Holy Spirit is a gift to you for God to pour His Word into and activate to cause things to happen. The Holy Spirit is your empowerment. Jesus said, go and wait on the promise of my Father. What is it? You're going to receive the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when He comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be empowered. You shall have everything that's required to do what you need to do. You're going to have all the strength you need to do what you got to do. You're going to have not only the blessing, but you're going to have the empowerment to see the blessing through. Because sometimes you feel like God is there, but you don't have the strength to deal with what's going on around you. I felt that way. I felt the nearness of God, but I feel like, God, I just ain't got the energy to deal with this today. Lord, I can't do this today. And then, like a rushing mighty wind, He comes in and get me energized and strengthened. Hallelujah. I kept getting up so early this morning. I had to work so early all these days. I was like, Lord, I'm tired. I ain't got no more. He said, you got more, son. And He blew the breath of life into me, strengthened me. And then I went and did what I had to do with strength and with ability. Why? Because He's given me the promise of the Spirit through faith. And by faith, I believe we can do what we need to do. Amen. By faith, I believe you can do what you got to do. Amen. By faith, I believe you can walk on water. I believe you can do whatever you got to do. By faith, I believe you can be healed by the stripes of Jesus in your body. Whatever's dealing with you, I believe that about you. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Spirit has been given to us as a gift. He's been freely given to us as a gift of us. I believe you can overcome the grief that's in your life. I believe the spirit of grief that's trying to take you down. I believe you can be healed from that. I believe you can rise up and walk from that. I believe that you can do mighty things. You can accomplish every good, perfect thing that God has promised you or spoken to you. I believe that about you. Why? Because I know you have the Spirit. I believe you can walk in the joy of the Lord. I believe you can have joy in all situations. I believe you can walk by faith and not by sight. I believe it about you. Because God is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. His word is true. His word is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above we can ask or think about according to the power that he put on the inside of you, which his Holy Spirit is. Galatians 5, and we're going to close. You need to know that there are wolves who want to knock you off of what I just prophesied over you. You need to know that there's wolves around who are trying to take you off of what I'm telling you. You need to understand that there are people who will come and they will try to knock you off your faith. They will try to knock you off the fruit that God's trying to bring forth in your life. That's why I want to tell you there's four kinds of people. Because you need to be able to discern. Not judge, discern. See, judgment is already on the earth. That's why you don't have to judge. You don't have to judge. Jesus said this. He said, he told a parable, the wheat and the tares. And this is what he said. He said that there was a man who had a field, and he's growing this crop. And by night, an enemy came in and sowed weeds in his stuff. And when the weeds began to grow, his servants recognized that there were weeds in there. And he said this. He said, the farmer said this. Don't try to pull the weeds up. Because if you pull up the weeds, You want to take some of the good stuff with it. Let them both grow up together. The angels will take care of the rest. That's why you don't have to judge. God takes care of what he needs to take care of. God takes care of what he needs to take care of. Amen? He takes care of it. You're going to know them by their fruit. Weeds can't produce grapes. Apple trees can't produce oranges. And we can only produce the fruit of the Spirit by the Spirit. Go to verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to know you by your fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. Against such, there is no law. You're going to know men by their fruit. Some fruit is out of season. In other words, there's some people who we all must be patient with because it's not yet their season. There's some people who are not bearing this kind of fruit, and we have to be patient with them because sometimes you're carnal on your way to becoming spiritual. So there's a patience that's required, which is our fruit, to be patient with those who are not yet there. But we also have to be aware that sometimes carnal believers can look just like wolves, because that's what wolves do. Wolves try to look like carnal believers because they can't imitate spiritual believers. Now, sometimes there are spiritual people who are still carnal, but that's that. They're carnal. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, you live in a world right now that God is looking for fruit. God is expecting fruit from us. God is expecting us to bear fruit. We also live in a world that God is not going to just tell you to bear fruit without also giving you redemption, putting the blessing on your life, and giving you the Spirit in order to make you bear fruit. He's a good farmer. What does he do? He makes sure that you're planted. He makes sure that you got the right soil around you, that the water is poured out on you. The water of the Spirit is all over you so you can grow up into the thing that God has called you to become. God is awesome. God is awesome. But we got to learn to pick up today. Pick up today. What do I pick up today? I pick up today by just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're sowing in me. Thank you, Lord, for making me productive. Thank you for making me bear the fruit of the Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that I am a person of love. We start making a confession and declaration as to who we are because we already know he's given us of his Spirit. Last passage. Don't go there. I'm just going to turn there. I'm going to go to Psalm 119. And I want you to listen to this. What do you do today? Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? And I'm going to change this. How can all of us here today cleanse our way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all of your judgments of your mouth. With my lips, I declare. How can you change your way? How can we get on the road to going where we need to go? By taking heed to the word. Put the heart, hide the word in our hearts so that we never sin against God. Hide that word in our heart. Let that word begin to take root in our heart. Let's put the word in our heart and let's walk new creation lives.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Let's grow up in the things of God so that we start to not only be satisfied with being blessed, but our intent is to become a blessing. That we intend to become a blessing. I'm gonna stretch y'all so hard. I'm gonna stretch you to think about being a blessing. See, the limited we have to get our minds renewed. We don't understand how limited the enemy has made us. We have become so limited in our thought process. The enemy has so contained us into our thoughts and gotten us into the flesh to such a level that our emotions rule us. And God's trying to break that. God's trying to break that. He's trying to set us free from our emotions. He's trying to set us free not to live with no emotion, but that your emotions don't rule you. That your emotions don't dominate you. Your emotions don't put you out of the position of blessing. He's trying to get us to the point where our mentality is that our gifts are so available to us that we can cause our gifts to be used on behalf of others. That if God says that we're supposed to start a business, that we start thinking about how are we going to hire? Not what do I do to make what I need. How do I start this and how do I hire somebody? How do I create jobs? How do I create opportunities for other people? How do we get our minds stretched to see the needs of our community and say, God is more than enough? That indeed, this is a land that flows with milk and honey, and God is well able to give us the spoil of the land. Not for us, but to be a blessing. That we start seeing ourselves not just as people who can just get by, and we start seeing ourselves as people who have the blessing of God on them. And we can do mighty things. We can do exceedingly and abundantly above what God we can think and what we can ask of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church and events calendar, and other messages that might be of interest to you. Once again, that site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next broadcast. Until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life and that more abundantly.